You're listening to Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. When you hear the words bisexual, transsexual, or even asexual, I'm betting that lizards or deer or dolphin are probably not on your mind. But sexual variety plays a big role in the animal kingdom, and animal mating behaviors are a lot weirder than you might think. And if you're not convinced now, you might be after watching the videos made by my next guest, model, actress, and filmmaker Isabella Rossellini, who has turned biology into art. Her web series, Seduce Me and Green Porno, they're short films, a series of short films on the mating and courtship of animals. It's about the birds and the bees, and also the spiders, the cuttlefish, the ducks, and even bed bugs. Yeah, but this isn't your average educational video. In the film, Rossellini is costumed, and she acts as the creatures from across the animal kingdom, and her co-stars are bright paper props and cutouts. The videos have been a huge hit on the internet, so if you haven't seen them yet, surf over to the SundanceChannel.com, SundanceChannel.com, and you can watch them from there. You can also go to our website at ScienceFriday.com. A warning, we'll be talking about some PG-13 level biology here, so if you have any young animals listening, you might want to put them back into their crates. Isabella Rossellini is a writer, director, star of Seduce Me and Green Porno. Welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How many science shows have you been on so far?
Not too many, though we were delighted when my first series came out, Green Porno, that I was in the same week interviewed by Playboy and Science Magazine.
Wow. That's got to be the first time for that, I'll bet. How did you come up with the idea for that? I'm sure that everybody wants to know that first.
Yes, well, it was a combination. I personally always loved animals, and so I always read about animals, especially animal behavior, and occasionally took courses on biology and zoology. Live in the country. I'm a bird watcher, an oyster raiser. You know, I'll do anything that I raise dog for the blind as a volunteer. So, that has been always an interest in my life. I have collaborated with the Sundance Channel, and Robert Redford, who is at the head of it all, had the idea to make a series of short films specifically for the internet. Now, we did it 3 years ago. Still, this question of what is the life of the internet? Is just a recycling bin of what's in television, or things specifically to the internet will be produced by companies such as the Sundance Channel? So he wanted to really do the SundanceChannel.com, just as something different. But he thought that short films, and also he reminded me that if you work for the internet, small screens are also something to take into consideration. And so that gave me the idea of doing these very colorful costumes.
Beautiful.
Because I had a friend, two friends, Rick Gilbert and Andy Byers, who are marvelous artists with paper. And so they created this sort of origami, very complex paper sculptures for my film.
Mm-hmm. And you star in them, you produce them, you write them. And just to give our audience a flavor of what we're talking about so we can talk about them a little bit more, we have a clip from one of your episodes. And before we play it, tell us, this one is about the spiders.
Yes,
what's going on.
Oh, the spiders, they are so, when you say spiders, we all have in mind one. But we also know that there are many spiders, and each one of us knows because they've seen small spider, big spider, colorful spider, hairy spiders. There are so many spiders, and their rituals, their mating rituals, their courtship ritual can be very, very different. But a friend of mine, who's actually a specialist of spider, said you can make a difference between two bit wide categories. The spiders that don't see very well, in spite of the fact that they have many eyes, would rely very much on smell and vibration. But the one that see very well, those are the spiders that would be very colorful, and they see beyond the range we see. And so I tried to portray this in the film that now you're going to hear.
Well, here, and it comes across very well also, but it's such a gorgeous film. Unfortunately, we only have the sound for it, but it's still incredibly beautiful to listen to.
Some spiders don't see very well, like the Stegophis lineatus. If the male plays my web well, like a cello, I can be seduced.
My web is vibrating.
Is it a love message? Or did I catch a fly? Oh, it's a serenade. Come on, my little husband. Don't be afraid. I wouldn't eat you. Come on. Let's make love.
And of course, when you watch it on the SundanceChannel.com, you get to see the beautiful costuming and whatever.
Yes. And most of the time, the female spiders are very big and very aggressive. So the male spider have to have all different sort of strategies not to be taken for a fly or you know, and eaten.
And how did you decide which one in the animal kingdom you were going to choose?
I think the varieties, you know, that's what I wanted. It was not only to do animals that were only mammals. In fact, if you think there is one or two mammals, but I wanted to do animals that are hermaphrodite. They are animals that have both sexes, that are animals that reproduce asexually just by cloning themselves. Mm-hmm. They are animals such as fish that change sex during their life. They are born male, but they would change sex and become female as they grow older, or vice versa. And all this seemed very fascinating. So I made these categories of animals. And then according to the science I understood and according to how beautiful we can portray this animal with our paper sculptures, that was the ultimate decision. But the first sorting out is diversity.
Right. 1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk to Isabella Rossellini about her animal portrayals on the website at the SundanceChannel.com. Green Porno and Seduce Me. One followed the next year, but I guess they wanted to change the name a little bit from year one to year two.
Well, when the Sundance generally commissions me groups of seven to ten films.
Right. So
they are about a minute and a half each. And the first group we did were under the name of Green Porno because the Sundance Channel had so many programs about greenhouse, green food, green transportation. So it was obviously that mine would be called Green Porno. They were immensely successful on the internet. We won 5 Webbies, which is the big award for the webs. Yeah. And sponsors solicited us, but they couldn't have the name Porno. So then we did a whole new series, very similar to Green Porno, what we call Seduce Me, but that really concentrated more on the seductive strategies rather than the mating. And this is the new series that is out on the web right now.
Did you find that you had to do research about these topics?
Oh, yes.
A lot. Who did you consult with, any one group in particular?
The first time I did them, anytime I called any scientist and I would say I make this short film called Green Porn or Blink, the phone came down. But the interview that I've done actually with a journalist from Science Magazine, his name is John Bohannon. Mm-hmm. He became a very good fan and friend, and Seduce Me I wrote with him, which was tremendously useful because I didn't have to do this massive research and always have a little bit of the doubt because, I mean, I've taken courses as I'm an animal lover, but I am not a scientist. So it's wonderful to have the support of two major scientists, John, who is a genetic biologist, and a marine biologist called Claudio Campagna.
Mm-hmm. And let's get a flavor of another one. Let's see if we can listen to another one. And this one is the praying mantis. Tell us a little bit about the mating rituals.
The praying mantis.
Oh, we don't have the praying mantis one? No? Okay. But tell us anyhow about it.
I'll tell you because it's terrible. The females, while she's being made love, she eats up the male, a cannibal. It's one of the worst.
Mostly, it's tough for men to watch that one. We do have the one which is in the news a lot, the one about the bed bugs we have a bit.
Yes, the one is a big news because in New York is infestated by bed bugs. And John Stewart took my little episode and made fun of it, but in a very charming and wonderful way until Bed Bug, my film, went viral on the net. So it was a big success for us.
All right, let's listen to a little bit about the bed bugs.
Bed bugs have penises like knives. Females don't need any genitals to mate. Stab me.
Chase me. Mate with me. Seduce me. He is so strong and sharp.
Wow.
Yeah,
little risk. You took a little risk on that one.
You took a little risk, but it is surprising because of all the animals that I've read, especially if there are two sexes, male and female, one way to know which one is male and which one is female is by their sexual characteristic. Mm-hmm. Now, the female bedbug doesn't have any genitals at all, and the male penetrates her and leaves his sperm in the wound, and she has a blood system, a circulatory system that would carry the sperm to the ovaries, but she doesn't have an organ to collect the sperm. It's extraordinary. Wow.
I would think that these were perfect teaching materials for schools, you know, who want to get their kids just in, you know, because it has that edge to it, and yet it has the educational value to it.
Well, they were meant to be entertainment. They were meant to be fun, and I'm glad that you say they're fun. But I do also want people to laugh and then say, "Ah, I didn't know that." My son, who is 17, is a big fan and actually appears some of the film or has helped me when we created the film, brought them to school, and his science teacher adopted it. And then other science teacher out of that. So I do know about four or five teachers that are using it as material, at least for teenagers in high school.
And do you have another series anticipated?
Right now we don't have another series anticipating. I'm just finished this one. Uh-huh. But I have collaborated with Sundance so many years, and I'm sure we'll think of something next to do together.
All right, let's go to Jim in Mountain View, California. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you guys doing?
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I don't have any questions here, but, I remember when I was 10 years old, I was a huge fan of Signora Serini's mother, Ingrid Bergman, you know, and when she passed away, my whole family, we were so sad.
Oh, so
and
sweet.
And we really miss her. Miss her very much.
Oh, that is so kind of you.
And when I saw Signora Rossellini for the first time, you know, and she exactly reminds us from her mother, you know. I mean, every time I see her, I see Ingrid, you know. I mean, this is incredible.
All right.
And I just called to say, you know, I dreamed to someday, somewhere, I could see Signora Rossellini and just shake her hand, kiss her hand, and say that we love her and we are a huge fan of her.
Thank you so much. This is so kind.
And, anyway, I hope everything good for you, happiness.
For you, too. Happy holidays, too.
Yes. All right, thank you. Well, the next best thing is to go to the SundanceChannel.com and watch these videos, because she does look just like her mother. I'm sitting here thinking of her mother.
Well, I have to explain.
Remind everybody that this is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow with Isabella Rossellini. I'm sorry to have to interrupt you. Go ahead. About your mom, you're going to tell
us? Oh, no. I was going to say my mom is Ingrid Bergman, an actress that unfortunately died many years ago, but she was very known for films like Casablanca or Notorious. She had a huge career in Hollywood, but she was Swedish. I am half Swedish, half Italian, and I'm delighted that people still remember her and are so attached. And we do look very similar, my mom and I.
Yeah, it's true. One of the NPR folks love Italian names. In fact, NPR has, I'm not going to say her name because thousands of people will want to hear who she is. There's a reporter in Italy that NPR has. And we have a lot of fun with her name. So you're going to finish up this series?
This series is finished. We've done 28 episodes on animal courtship and animal sex. It could be that, you know, these films, they were very successful, but they were really thought to be an experiment on format for the internet. So it's up to Sundance to see if this format has been successful. So far, it has been successful. Would they continue? It's all part of the new talk about what is the destiny of the internet, that it seems to be changing every day, and also how to monetize the internet, because we expect everything from the internet to come in free, and that's one of the problem of producing.
So why aren't more people doing these short form, small budget films?
Because the internet has not found a way to monetize it. So artists, you know, I got the money because Sundance allocates some money to experiment, but if you do a film, you get the money back because you sell the ticket. If you do a film for television, you add advertisers, or you have cable, so you pay monthly installment. Mm-hmm. The internet is for free. Of course, you pay the installment every month to get the signal, but none of this money goes back to the artist. And that's why it's very difficult to create a web industry that makes film.
Do you think this is a new business for you? Is this something new?
It's a new business for me to be a filmmaker.
Right.
But in fact, my next project is with the Discovery Channel, but it's a much more traditional format, an hour-long special television, which is again about animal. It's called Animal Distract Me. And they would probably have a component for the internet. But this was specifically thought out to create a viable business for the internet.
1-800-989-8255. And so many people want to know the Italian name. I'm thinking, of course, is Silvia Pajoli, who is such a popular name on NPR and has been the NPR located in Italy for so many years. She gets more mail on anybody because of her name. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Did you have any agenda? People want to say, why suddenly are you going to do something like this? You have some social message. You have an agenda. Or is it just something you found fun to be?
Well, you know, I think the agenda was to experiment in film. I always loved experimenting in film. And also, as an actress, I think you can see that I make more independent film, whether I work with David Lynch in Blue Velvet or Guy Madden in The Saddest Music in the World. That my personal taste tends to be on experimental to filmmaking. I found that to be
creative. So you're a risk taker.
But I don't see it as risk taking. I find actually that if you have to be very successful and maintain that success, that's a very risky, you know, to make a film that it is $80 million, $100 million and really make sure that people like it and you get the money back. It seems to be a much higher risk than to small, less expensive film that are experimental. And if they don't go well, it's okay. You know, nobody loses their homes loses money.
Well,
so I prefer, I find it all very light and wonderful to be an experimental.
We wish you great luck and we thank you for your taking this. They're wonderful films.
Thank you very much.
I wish everybody take a look. Isabella Rossellini, writer, director, and star of Green Porno and Seduce Me. That's on the Sundance channel. Hopefully you can see it at the sciencefriday.com arts there. We'll send you over to there. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR.